Welcome to That Makes Total Sense, the podcast where we talk about faith, finance, and everyday life in a way that makes total sense. I'm your host, Alexis Busetti. On this podcast, you'll hear the personal stories of friends I'll be interviewing who are doing familiar things in new and innovative ways. We'll answer questions specifically about money and our relationship with it, and we'll explore faith and Bible teaching together. In all of these, it's not about changing our convictions as much as it is about messing with our methods. We'll have a lot of moments here together where we pause, then say, that makes total sense. Hi, I'm Alexis Busetti, and welcome to That Makes Total Sense. So today's episode is part two with Sarah Bowling. Please, please go back and listen to part one if you have not heard that yet. You'll get a background on Sarah, and it's just such an encouragement to listen to that interview and that conversation with Sarah. So today is part two, where she is going to take us and give us a peek at what she's doing right now in ministry with her organization called Saving Moses. Now, Saving Moses actually first came to my attention through my husband, Seth. He sent me a link in a text message, and it was literally just this website for Saving Moses. And I was kind of like, where did this come from? Like, what's going on? What do you want me to know about this? But he was drawn to it because part of what Saving Moses does is provide real physical and medical and nutritional care for children who are actually in the DRC, which is where our youngest son was born and where he's from. That is the DR Congo in Africa. And so, of course, I just opened up the website and I just felt like I couldn't navigate it fast enough. I was just looking at everything they were doing. And one of the intriguing and I think just really powerful things that they are doing is actually what we're going to talk about today. So I want to go ahead and give a warning and say, Sarah's work with Saving Moses, part of it is with women and their children who are in the sex trafficking industry in Asia. So they do the work in Africa. She'll tell you about it. They do so many things. But specifically today, we're going to talk about the work that she does with the women and children in the sex trafficking in Asia. And so I just want to let you be aware of that. We do not use explicit language, but definitely know that there are mature themes. And so while none of my episodes are marked as explicit or anything like that, I do want to let you know, if you have children who are listening to this or sensitive listeners, you might just want to proceed with caution and listen to it at a time when you can maybe put your earbuds in. So anyway, please, I hope you don't let that deter you. This is an amazing conversation with Sarah about real work that God is doing right here on the ground through Saving Moses. So enjoy my conversation, part two, with Sarah Bowling.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us again. We are back with Sarah Bowling on That Makes Total Sense podcast, and I am beyond excited to talk with her again and to bring this next episode to you guys. So if you missed it last time, please get on and listen to the last episode. She really spoke into my heart, and I know so many others, about what it's like to just hear from God and to express the love of the Father and just listen to the Holy Spirit as He guides us in our everyday life. And it was just so great. And now she's back. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So now she's back and she is going to talk with us. Last time I feel like was kind of everyday life, what we all get to do. And then today she's going to talk with us about what she gets to do on a ministry level, this thing that God has allowed her to scale. So she has an organization that God has brought into her life called Saving Moses. And Sarah, I feel like I just want to let you loose and let you tell us about Saving Moses. Tell us anything you want us to know about this, because I think it's all just so powerful work for the kingdom.
Sure. Well, I mean, if you start with the name, Saving Moses, it comes out of Moses being in the Nile River, you know, 3 months old, right, about, and he's going to be, you know, basically crocodile food, right?
Right. And
Pharaoh had said all males get thrown into the Nile River. And his mom makes this little boat, you know, and he's an infant. And Pharaoh's daughter rescues him. He's 3 or 4 months old, takes him out of the Nile River. And, you know, I don't think Pharaoh's daughter, when she reached down and collected him, I don't think she had any idea that he was going to be the liberator of Israel.
Right.
He would get the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Mount Sinai. He would do that whole Red Sea thing.
Right.
Yeah, like 10.
Just ways. Small things.
Yeah. Seriously. I mean, who has any idea? Like, this is just a 3-4 month old little baby, and you have no earthly idea of what God has for this little baby.
Right.
So what happened was, I remember I was in Ethiopia and I was there, and a friend of mine had said, "Hey, Sarah, I think God's got more in your heart than just teaching the Bible." And I was like, "Well, maybe, you know." And but I was in Ethiopia, and I happened, one of those coincidences, I happened to run into twins, newborn twin girls. Their names were Sarah and Ruth. Wow. They'd been abandoned on a field, and the police had rang this orphanage. We were staying at this orphanage, and they rang the orphanage and said, "Hey, can you take these newborns?" Orphanage said, "No, it's against our policy. We don't have the resources for newborns."
Wow.
And the police said, "Well, if you don't take them, we have to put them back on the field." And that's exactly my
wow.
That was exactly my reaction. I was like, who does? I was
wow.
I was just outraged. And so they had just newly arrived at the orphanage. So I went to hold them, you know, and I'm a mom at this time. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I just flabbergasted. And when I went home, I was like, I held them and I was a total puddle of tears. 'Cause I was like, and I went home and I did a little bit of research. I was like, it's not uncommon for orphanages around the world to have this policy because they don't have the resources. It makes sense. They don't
have the resources
to take care of babies and toddlers.
Right.
So if you only have $10, you can take care of 5 10-year-olds. But if you only have $10, that $10, you'd have to use all of it to take care of 1 6-month-old.
Wow. And these were twins. I mean, this is, there's no way for you to know this, but we actually have twin daughters.
No way.
And so I'm picturing, you know, what the first, because it is true. Like, I'm just picturing what the first, you know, 6 months of their lives looked like in our house, right? Where it's like, it's all consuming. There's so much resource and so much energy and just so much that goes into caring for infants. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So I started looking into it, and long story short, I was like, you know, I feel like, and I'll never forget sitting up in my chair, my morning quiet time, I felt like Holy Spirit dropped the name in my heart, Saving Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, and I love it. And so from there, I started looking and saying, well, what does that look like? And I finally landed on this idea, and it really resonates in my heart and continues. I look out for babies and toddlers where the need is most urgent,
mm-hmm.
and the care is least available.
Right. Wow.
We call it like moolah, most urgent, least available, moolah. So that's going to be primarily developing countries.
Mm-hmm.
So I look and see where is the highest infant mortality, and that's where I want to work.
Wow.
Yeah. I look at like where's the least resources. So we do malnutrition clinics in Angola as well as the DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo. We do birth aid in Afghanistan. We're starting to do some work now. I'm super excited in Iraq and Syria.
Wow.
With a mobile birth clinic.
Oh, that's big.
Right, in a shipping container. So that means we take we move the shipping container to the moms.
Wow.
Mobile birth clinic, right?
That's intense.
Oh my gosh, I'm so stoked about that. And then the other thing we do that's like phenomenal, like nobody does it, we do something called night care. So we look after the babies and toddlers of sex workers in developing countries while they work, while the moms work.
I mean, this is, I have to stop you because this is like, I feel like you're going to have to repeat that again almost, because it's like, this is earth-shattering work. I mean, yeah. I was telling you earlier, my husband has heard you talk about this, and he's a very sensitive guy, but not terribly outwardly expressive. And he is fighting back tears, telling me about this aspect of Saving Moses. And the work that you do across the organization is super important. I mean, with the nutrition and with the birth clinics and with all of the things. And we have a son who's from DRC. And so we appreciate and love that work. But I really would love for you to tell us, I mean, where did that even come from? How did that even get on your radar to care for these children?
Right, because nobody's doing it, right?
I mean, right.
Nobody's heard of daycare.
Of course, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty common in the world we live in. But night care, nobody's heard of that.
And, right. And night care, you know, we think in the States, we think of, there are some, you know, very rare, but like 24-hour daycare, but like for shift workers and things like that, right, where their mom and dad go to the factory or they're working at a hospital or something like that where, you know, they're in some space. But those are rare, and this is not what you're talking about. I mean, you said this is developing countries, and these are the children of workers in the sex industry.
Yep. And so what happened was, I watched a documentary called Born Into Brothels.
Oh, wow.
It's interesting because, and it won like all these prizes, like it's a really significant documentary. And there's a brothel in India called Sonagachi. And this is what that documentary is all about. 20,000 sex workers in 1 square mile.
What?
I know.
That's unbelievable.
I know. When I watched this documentary, and in the documentary there's a little toddler that's chained to a rail. Mm. And when I saw that in that brothel, when I saw that, I lost it. I was like, oh my gosh, what happens to the babies and toddlers?
Yes.
Because it's implicit in the industry. I mean, like, seriously.
Wow.
Sex workers. So babies and toddlers are a natural consequence of this industry.
Right.
And birth control and all that stuff, but seriously. And so when I saw this, I was just, you know, like, I'm going to do night care. And I really felt strong from Holy Spirit, do this. And so, you know, I went over and I went to Sonagachi, or I went to India to visit, and, they're like, you're never going to do this. It's not going to happen. It's too dangerous, all this stuff. And it's really frustrating. And so I couldn't get away from it. And so I felt Holy Spirit say, well, Sarah, where do you have friends? Where do you have relationships? I said, well, I go to Cambodia. I love Cambodia. And so I started looking at, is there like a sex industry there? I don't know, because I'm dumb as a brick, right? And so I just started to kind of ask around and do some, you know, Google it, right?
Right, right.
I came to see, oh my gosh, this is a huge industry in Cambodia because of the poverty, the lack of education, all this stuff. So I have friends over there, like my second church, my family there. I'm like, I went over and I said, hey, this is an idea. I have night care. And my friends were like, absolutely, Sarah, we'll connect you. How about this person, this person? So long story short, we opened night care in Phnom Penh, probably close to... And we now have 5 night care centers in Phnom Penh. And then we also opened our second night care center in Bangladesh just recently. And so,
wow.
Yeah. And what I found, like, so what happens, I asked the moms in Bangladesh, when I was looking at opening there, I went to the largest brothel in Bangladesh and kind of surveyed the moms and asked them. I said, you know, what do you do with your baby toddler while you're working? And 8 out of 10 of them, they said, the baby is on the bed with me while I work.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, right, so this will really make your hair stand up. And they said immediately on the heels of that, they said, And it's not uncommon for a client to roll over and molest my toddler when they're done with me.
Oh my goodness. Sarah, how did you even hear those words from those mothers?
I asked them, I said, well, would you want night care? And they're like, 2 years is too late. I mean, you should have been here. You know, of course we want it. Are you kidding? And so a lot of times, and people really say, well, you know, what do you do for the moms? Because, I mean, get the moms out of the industry. And I never ignore that. I never say that's not important. It is important. But let me just be really clear. There's a lot of organizations, a lot of NGOs, nonprofits, ministries that help the moms, that really focus on the moms, and rightfully so. But let me be really clear. There's not one organization that looks after their babies and toddlers that is devoted to their babies and toddlers, to looking and caring for their babies and toddlers. So if you want to change the industry, start with the babies and toddlers.
I just think if you know, because as a mother, I mean, that's there's hardly a faster way to my heart, right? Yep. Than love on my kids.
Yep.
I mean, if you're going to love on my kids, you're in, right? And you're genuinely loving and looking after my kids and caring for my kids. And so I just think, you know, I understand the rebuttal maybe of what are you doing for the moms, and I'm with you on your response, but I think you are serving the moms. Exactly. You know, you are serving the moms by serving their yep. children, you know, because you are, yes, you're rescuing these children every night in that situation, so they don't have to be in the situation that they were, that was imminent for them. But also for the mom, those actions that would take place, that's not without emotional and physical and spiritual consequence for her to have to bring her child to work. Yep. Like that. And so when you are bringing them into that space, I'm just, you are serving the moms. I just think you are, I mean, you have to be. So what does that look like, you know, every night? And how do the moms, like, how do the moms who want to utilize their services, how do they find you? And what do you guys do? What does that look like on the ground?
Sure. And I just invite the audience. We take a team every July to Cambodia, to Phnom Penh. And so I'd invite people listening to come with us to Phnom Penh. It takes about 10 days total. And we go and we do night care.
So amazing.
Come with me. You have to do, you know, like a application.
Sure.
Background checks, because we're not bringing whack jobs over there.
I'm right. Right.
Legitimately, you can come with me, and we do night care for about 5 days, 5 nights over in Phnom Penh, and you can see what it looks like real time and join it. Like, help meet the moms, meet the nannies who work in each center. You get to go to one center and like work on that center, so you get to paint it and clean it. You get to meet the nannies. You get to go into the neighborhoods where those moms are, and so that's how that looks. So we have our workers, our nannies go into those neighborhoods with like invitation cards that are all written in Khmer language and say, hey, we'd love to have you bring your baby and toddler, whatever, to our night care center. We have open houses to invite them so they can come and see what nice. We do. There's a lot of good word of mouth, you know, among mm-hmm. the mom community, because, you know.
That's important. Sure. Yeah.
So what happens is basically we open up around 5:30 at night. And moms will bring their babies and toddlers from, you know, 5:30 till about 7:30. And they bring them all that time. And they'll bring them. And we take them. The first thing is they land and we give them a bath. Because mm-hmm. they're in a pretty raunchy environment. Neighborhoods are really dirty and just gross. And it's good to have a bath. So we give them a bath. Then we have playtime with them. We give them dinner. And then we have like circle time. And then we put them down to bed. They
wow.
sleep through the night, and moms collect them in the morning.
When they're oh, done. My goodness.
Right?
That's amazing.
Yep.
Yeah. That's amazing. And actually, I told a couple of my close friends that I was getting the opportunity to interview you. And that was one of my dearest girlfriends. The first thing she said was, I want to go on a trip with her. I want to take a mission trip with her. Like, she had heard about what you guys do, and she was so excited about it. But I'm like, but this is not glamorous work. I mean, this is kingdom work. This is making a difference. This is huge, big ramifications that we can't even express. I feel like we can't even wrap our minds around, but it's exactly what you said. It's bathing kids and feeding them and being kind and giving them a bed and letting them rest. And then letting their moms collect them in the morning. Like how, I'm just so blown away thinking about the kingdom ramifications of babysitting.
And
this is babysitting.
Love. Yeah, it's genuine love.
It is. It is. And what are the moms' responses when they actually get in and they pick their babies up in the morning? Like, what are some of the stories? Like, if you have time to share just one or two, like, responses from moms, because I just can't imagine as a mother how good that must feel.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have a whole spectrum of responses from the moms. So you do have moms that are like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing on the planet. We have a mom who said, you know, my little girl comes home and we pray together now, and she prays for me.
Oh.
And I'm so thankful that God has now come into our lives. I mean, just cool stuff like that. But let me also say, on the other end of the spectrum, and you get everything in between. I have a mom who was a drug addict and also an AIDS. She's a drug addict and an AIDS patient. Mm-hmm. And she would often not let her daughter come to night care because she used her daughter to sell condoms to her clients.
Oh, dear.
Right? A 3-4-year-old little girl selling, right?
Right.
And so this mom, I mean, the mom, it's just, you know, the tragedy of it. It just gets under your skin. And so it breaks your heart because you just think you want to hear the redemption stories. And,
right.
And I'd love to tell you every single one is, but that would not be reality. They're not all redemption stories. This
but you
mom wound up dying.
And but you guys
died as well. And so there's some tragedy in it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But you guys are, I mean, there is, and it's heartbreaking. But you guys are available.
Yep.
I mean, I feel like it's that consistency, and it's even reminding me of what you talked about on the last episode a bit of this serving in these, you know, like when Jesus says, when you did this to the least of me, you know, the least of these, you did this to me, because it's like, you know, going in and doing those jobs that no one else notices, or just that you're consistent, like every day. Like, what do we do every day? Well, we change diapers every day. That's what we do. And we clean dirty, you know, fingernails every day. And that's what we do. And we cook dinner and we sing and we pray. And every single night, I'm saying day, every single night, you know, you guys do that and your team does that. And I just think that's a powerful testimony for love. It's a powerful testimony for Kingdom Outreach. It's a powerful testimony to these women that even though every story sadly isn't a redemption story, there is still, there's still so much there in what you guys show them on a regular basis by just showing up, by your teams just showing up and just saying you're here for them. You know, that you're willing to do that.
Genuine love. I mean, God doesn't withhold love.
Right.
Just because somebody doesn't receive it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? There are times I haven't been very receptive, right?
Right. Right. You know, I think about sometimes my kids, you know, when I say, I love you, and my daughter will say, I know. You know, well, how do you know? Because you tell me every day, you tell me all the time, mom, you know, and I'm like, well, you're right. But it still is one of those things, like you said, even when the response is, it's still a joy to God's heart to share his love with us, even when we're not receptive. And, and it's still a joy, you know, it's still a joy to pour that out, even though it's not received every time. And I just think the cumulative effect of what you guys are doing is going to be seen generation to generation to generation in these spaces where you, where you're serving.
Yep. And I love it. Completely love it.
Well, what did I, as we wrap up our time, what did I leave out? What question did I not ask about Saving Moses or some of this work that you're doing that you really want to make sure people know?
I think at the very heart of it, I really would say the core motive is genuine love and loving babies and toddlers. And I agree. I loved what you said, to the least of these. Jesus talks about that in Matthew. If you do this to the least of these, the smallest, the most unnamed, the most unidentified. And Jesus says, when you do this to the least of these. And so I think loving a baby, loving a toddler, and not getting sidetracked or rabbit trailed on why. Why are they... I don't know why they're in this situation. Why? I don't just love. Just love. And if there's anything I could say for our audience, for our listeners, I just would challenge, me included, that we love well. Let God love us as well as let God love through us. That's the end game here, is genuine love.
Wow. I mean, thank you. It's to say that, you said it so well, that's the end game. You know, it's not love unto something else.
Nope.
That's it. It's just love, you know. It's just love. Oh my goodness, that's so good. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Sarah. Well, how can our listeners find you, especially if they're thinking, yeah, I could do that. I could spend some time in night care. I could go on one of these trips. Or if they just want to look around and see what you guys are doing and support you in another way through prayer or through finances, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, savingmoses.org. That's our website. We're on Facebook. We do Insta. We do all that, all the stuff. And really great. We have blogs and videos and stuff. So, and if you want to share it, you know, if you can share stuff on your social media from Saving Moses, that is so golden. So all ways to help that can include prayer, can include, you know, social media and advertising, marketing, helping us with that, as well as finances. Come with us. Invite you to do all those things. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Alexis.
Oh, my goodness, Sarah. The pleasure was all mine. Thank you. All right. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
So thank you again so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you won't miss an episode. Share the link with your friends. You can visit us at thatmakestotalsense.com. And until next time, this is Alexis Busetti, remembering to do well for ourselves so we can do good for others. Bye.